On the last Thursday of every month, which is indeed today, we head off to talk to Alistair Spence-Clark. Today's no exception. Good morning, Alistair.
Good morning, Bill.
Welcome to the new normal.
I thought today we would sort of have a general chat about a whole wide range of stuff, because we're just running up to the last few days of the renter, the income tax declaration period, which runs, in fact, today is the last normal day of filing. We got until Monday, I think, the 30th, to file emergency ones, but
right.
That's too late, really, I think, to be talking about things like income tax declarations, I think.
Yes. So, I'm fascinated by the concept of an emergency declaration. Is that so? Oh, I've got to pay money to the taxman before I go.
Well, we do have people coming in at the very last moment.
Wow.
Because they suddenly realise that they've got to do something. We still get emails from people saying, do I have to declare tax, income tax in Spain. I have a house in Spain. I sold my house in the UK some years ago. Of course, if you know, for the benefit of the listeners, please don't phone me and ask for a tax declaration. But if you live in Spain, you have to file a tax declaration, income tax declaration, regardless of where your income comes from.
Yeah.
So anyway.
And let's start with something we touched on last month, and I could hear your blood pressure rising during the discussion. And this is the ERTEs, the ERTEs and Autonomo payments. We're no longer under this state of alarm, but things have not gone back to any kind of normality yet, have they?
No. From businesses, it's chaotic. It's very, very hard for anybody in the hospitality and hostelry side of life to make any kind of income.
Yeah.
They're losing money hand over fist, the ones that are opening, most of them anyway.
Yeah.
So we're not normal. And until we start getting tourists back in our tourist areas, the Costas, these businesses are going to be in deep trouble.
Mm.
As a result of which, we are hoping that the government will extend the ERTEs, because they're meant to run out on the 30th of June. We're hoping they're going to continue, for at least another 3 months. So
okay.
That those businesses that can't open, because it's just losing money to open, will be able to continue to support their employees through the ERTE system. We've been waiting for them to come up with this announcement, but they're arguing amongst themselves. So hopefully by Monday we will know for sure. That's for certainty.
And the ERTEs, at the moment, I think, are they called force majeure ERTEs at the moment?
Yeah, there are two types. There are ones which basically people had to stop work because they were restaurant and
okay.
they were closed.
Yep.
They're called causas objetivas. And then there were businesses which had to close because their business just disintegrated.
Yeah.
And therefore, they were kind of indirectly affected, or they were directly affected, but not on the list of businesses that had to close. Now, both of these groups of businesses have had until the 30th of June for the ERTEs to continue, and we're hoping that that's going to continue for 3 months, as I said.
Hmm.
Now, there are other kinds of ERTE, the ones where you reduce the number of hours and all that sort of stuff, and some businesses can move from the full-blown ERTE, where they suspend all or some of their employees, to ones where they just reduce the hours. That's going to be possible as well.
And this, of course, is all making the assumption that people who have claimed for them have actually been paid. But as you alluded to last month, that's not the case.
It's shameful. The Junta Andalucía, by the way, gave Autónomos a 300 euro kind of grant.
Yes.
And they have started paying that out, and that's great. The Junta Andalucía is doing a reasonably good job. But the Labour Office has still not sorted out its shameful mess.
Mm.
And there are people who still have not been paid, and they're back at work.
My
so people
goodness.
Have gone back to work, and they still haven't been paid their unemployment for 3 months. And isn't that incredible?
Absolutely.
Shameful.
And I've seen lots of discussions on various forums, Alistair, that in a lot of these cases where people haven't been paid, it's because they've forgotten to kind of put a dot above the I, or put a cross on a T. It's paperwork, tiny errors, and it's held the whole thing up.
Well, it would do if you make a mistake on the form. I mean, we've handled many of these, and fortunately, the ones dealt professionally don't have those sort of errors. So none of the ones we've dealt with have those problems. But that doesn't mean to say that people get paid out. If you make an error, it's going to make it a lot more complicated, obviously.
Yes.
But anyway,
I also heard talk, and you can maybe back this up, that these and other things that come from the government can only be paid into certain banks. For example, people these days who use these banks like N26, which are internet banks, for example, they wouldn't pay the ERTE into their banks. Or Revolut, exactly. They just didn't pay it, rather than saying to them, oh, we can't pay it into that bank. They just didn't pay it.
Well, you can just imagine the chaos in the administration of these departments. Revolut, for example, is they offer euro accounts, but it's a UK bank.
Yes,
and you have to pay it into a conventional Spanish bank. It could be an online bank. It could be Open Bank, which is a Spanish bank. But effectively, the foreign banks that sort of look like Spanish banks do not qualify.
Even if they're, for example, an N26 account, if you open one in Spain, you get a Spanish IBAN number. Even that's not good enough.
No, it's not, no, because actually it's a UK number. Isn't that weird? You don't know these things. You wouldn't know them unless you're sort of involved in it.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have this chaos still. It's incredibly serious. I mean, I've just heard that the Don Carlos Hotel near Elviria, near Marbella, is now basically closing down. This is the effect of lack of government support for essential businesses. So it's very sad. It's going to get worse, I'm afraid, before it gets better.
Mentioned self-employed there, and it's very rare that the government makes a mistake in people's favour, but I think a mistake was made with some autonomous, wasn't it, in terms of their payments?
Yes, autonomous, and they are still able to claim. Let me just say that, Bill. We got until the 30th of June to claim benefits for autonomous.
Right.
Basically, if your income has been damaged to the extent that you've got 75% less income than you would have done 6 months before, you are able to claim a small amount, but it's a useful amount of unemployment benefit. So anyone who hasn't done that and is in that situation, you need to move very quickly to make that claim.
And is this the 300 euros?
No, the 300 euros is an Andalusia only grant.
Okay.
And it applied to autonomous who continued to work only, but whose income was damaged.
They paid out early, right?
I mean, basically, this autonomous unemployment benefit was so badly worded that if your business was closed down because you were a self-employed restaurant owner, then you could claim from the 14th of March.
Right.
And people have been paid from the 14th of March. People who were not restaurant owners and didn't have to claim, they weren't forced to, could still claim, but basically they could only claim from the 1st of April. Okay. What the Social Security office has done is actually pay them from the 14th of March. So they're going to have to pay that money back.
Oh, of course they are.
Yeah. So there's it's an administrative chaos.
Yes.
And it's not going to go away soon.
No.
And, talking about administrative chaos, I think we can talk about tax inspections.
Well, yesterday in the UK Parliament, you may have seen Boris Johnson announcing potentially 2,000 HMRC employees being made redundant in the tax system in the UK. Maybe they should come to Spain. Maybe they should come to Spain because it looks like they're working harder than ever here.
Yes, they've now started. I mean, the government needs cash, and they've started a very aggressive campaign. We're seeing an awful lot of inspections and validations, requerimientos, we call them. And the tax office is also facilitating inspections by video conference. And this is going to make the inspections more productive because it's going to be much less wasted time for everyone. And they've already started sending inspection letters to people for the year 2015. This is an income tax one. So an awful lot of people are receiving letters about their income tax declaration of 2015 because after the 30th of June 2020, the tax office can no longer ask questions. So the tax office is just any doubts whatsoever. They're sending out inspection letters just to catch the deadline.
Oh, I see. Right. So they can only go back to 2015 with any questions.
Basically, for income tax, they can only go back up to the 30th of June 2020 for anything to do with 2015 income tax.
Right.
Because of the four-year prescription law, or prescription, we call it.
Yes. I've just got this brilliant mental picture in my head of the tax office doing an inspection by video conference using Zoom, and some of the backgrounds that you could put up behind yourself as the inspection was going on. It could be marvel. It could be marvelous, couldn't it?
Absolutely. What a brilliant thought. Wind up the tax inspector.
I bet there's some creative video uses going on for those, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
So they need money, basically. There's no magic money tree, and they're allegedly handing out money, and so they need the money back again, right? Yeah, they want it back again.
And the Social Security office can do the same. They're going to start inspecting the editors very, very soon, and they're going to check the autonomous to verify that everyone's complied with the rules that they claimed.
Mm.
And one of the other things the tax office is doing is they're doing inspections on everyone who's claimed double tax relief.
Right.
So if you've got rental income in the UK and you paid or you've got something which is taxed abroad, the tax office is double checking everything to do with double tax relief. So that's one thing.
Mm.
And then they're checking stuff which doesn't need to be checked, which is particularly amusing. They're actually sending letters to people who filed M210s. This is for non-residents who receive rent in Spain, and they're sending out letters demanding tax which is already being paid.
Goodness me!
That's what people need
coming out of lockdown, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm afraid that the administration is suffering as much as we are.
And are these letters that go out, are they being chucked out by some horrific computer somewhere, or is it people physically sending out letters?
They have to go out with somebody's signature on them, effectively.
Right.
It's an electronic signature, so it does go out by computer, in effect.
Yeah.
But there is some human intervention, but we're talking about, like, seconds review, and then it goes out. They're often very, very threatening-looking letters. It's just the Spanish are very, very formal in their official communications. So
yes.
People get a bit disconcerted when they see this six-page letter listing everything that is required. But we just have to accept that that's the way things work in this country. It's just very formal.
And basically get some advice if you need help on it.
Never ignore these things. You should never ignore these things. They won't stop. They're like rats. They just keep going. And actually, rats are quite nice compared to tax officers. Anyway.
Michael Jackson wrote a song about a rat. There's nothing wrong with rats. So while we're talking taxes, business taxes, you mentioned there that you've almost finished the income tax filings for autonomos. You're now about to start on company tax declarations. So they go in later, do they?
Yeah, we finish on the 30th of June, income tax for individuals. And then on the 1st of July, we start on the corporation tax. This is company tax declaration.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And we have 25 days to get it done, which in effect is 20 days, because we really need to finish everything by the 20th of July. A lot of people have problems with this because they were not able to get organized during the lockdown period. Fortunately, we've been working online as hard as normal.
Mm.
So we're completely up to date. So we're going to be churning out corporation tax returns on time.
Yep.
However, those who cannot still have to file, even if it's an estimated tax return.
Right.
So the corporation tax return can be, as long as it's filed, you're okay. If it's not 100% correct, it doesn't matter, because you'll get the chance to file a definitive one a few months later.
And is that because of COVID-19? Is that a special rule then?
Yeah, it's a special rule, because obviously you can't have the necessary company meetings during a lockdown period. So if you can't have the company meeting, then you can't effectively do the tax return properly.
Okay.
So they've extended the deadlines, but you still have to file a provisional tax return by the 25th of July.
Okay, understood. You mentioned companies there, and you're finding it common that people who are moving to Spain will still work within the UK, effectively, want to use their existing UK companies, which seems a logical thing to do. Is there a but?
There is a but, yeah. I mean, people have perfectly sensible reasons to continue to using, you know, their UK company. They might be a consultant, and they have clients. Their clients are accustomed to receiving invoices from the company, and they don't want to change that just because they moved to Spain. It's perfectly sensible.
Yeah.
It's also, UK companies are very simple to run, very easy.
Yes.
And the tax system in the UK favours companies because people like to take dividends instead of salaries and pay a little bit less tax that way. Mm-hmm. The problem is it doesn't always work in Spain because we have a clause in our corporation tax law, our company tax law, that basically says if a company is managed in Spain, it's a Spanish company. Mm-hmm. If the person who owns the company and is also the director of the company lives in Spain,
yes,
and doesn't have a home in the UK and never visits the UK,
yes,
then clearly the company is being managed from Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, it has to file a Spanish corporation tax return as well as a UK one. So a lot of people don't know that. And there are ways around it. You need to establish a proper base in the UK. You need somebody to act as a director in the UK or something of that nature. But, you have got to manage the company officially from the UK. You've got to have your company meetings in the UK.
Right.
And if you don't do that and you have a tax inspection, you're in trouble. So anybody out there who is using UK companies, make very sure that you've taken proper tax advice because you may come unstuck. And the tax office is going to start finding out about these things soon.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So far, it hasn't been a problem because the tax office is not really aware of it. But they will catch up and they will start inspecting people.
Okay, good advice. We've kind of forgotten in all of this COVID-19 business that we're actually now 6 months into our transition period for Brexit.
Yeah.
And many people haven't really thought through what that means, who've maybe not even got the residencia yet.
Yeah, a lot of people live in Spain without residencia. Residencia is required. You have to visit the police, get a residencia permit. Mm. If you live in this country, you also should go to your town hall and deal with the empadronamiento. You need to go on the padrón so that the town hall can collect contributions from the state to run itself. And these requirements are very, very important now that we're coming up to Brexit.
Yeah,
because, we've had Brexit already, but the transition period is, 6 months away. And if you haven't got your residencia by then, you could face some serious problems. For example, if you're self-employed, you may have to stop working. Because at the moment, we have the right as EU citizens to live and work in Spain without any formalities. If you're a third country, i.e., let's say you're from, USA.
Yep.
In order to be self-employed in Spain, you have to get a work permit.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, I came here in the late 80s, and I had to get a work permit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's tricky, isn't it? So guys out there, if you haven't got your residencia de empadronamiento sorted out, do it now, because you will not have the right to work in Spain without getting a work permit.
And the work permit, of course, could be problematic if you, for example, work for lots of different people as a self-employed person.
Oh, very much so. I mean, to establish your self-employed business, you will need to demonstrate that that you have a work permit. Now, if you are already here and you have done all the paperwork correctly, then there's not the slightest problem. But the last thing you want to do is have problems with residencia and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And have to resolve things unnecessarily when you can just go out and do it now. So my advice is, plan for the worst and hope for the best. It may not be a problem at all in the year to come, but why take the risk? Okay,
That's very interesting. I'm sure some of our listeners listening now, like me, had no idea that that was the case. A very valid point, Alistair, about the work permit thing. And how easy is it to get a work permit here?
I don't know. I haven't done it for 30 years. If you've been working, if you've been living here and you can demonstrate you've been living here, then you will have the right to work. And if you've been working here, clearly you have the evidence. But as I said, don't put yourself through a lot of stress when you can just go out and get your paperwork sorted.
Absolutely.
And do it now. Don't do it in December.
Well, absolutely. Because it does look like we're leaving whether or not there is a deal, doesn't it, basically?
I think I think we're near certain now that we shall leave effectively. There'll be no extension to the transition period.
Yeah.
I don't think the UK government is going to do it. And the EU states have also, Germany has issued warnings to people in their own country to treat the UK as definitely leaving on the 31st of December. So the EU has finally accepted that there's not going to be an extension.
Yeah. So get the stuff done if you've not already done it. Okay, lots of stuff covered there. Excellent. Lots of questions I'm sure people may have. How do they get in touch with you to get those questions answered, Alistair?
Yeah, well, they can contact us by phone, which is 95282-2943, or obviously using our website, which is full of useful information. Yeah. I have to say, we spend a lot of time putting articles up there on topical stuff. And if I may say that, you know, we don't just speak English. I mean, we are fully Spanish qualified as well as a UK chartered accountant.
Yes.
And our principle is to work very much as we would do in the UK. We don't just answer questions in English. If we see that something's not right with one of our clients, our business clients or a personal tax client, we actually, you know, interfere. We say we don't think this is right. We think you need to give that, you know, sort that out.
You don't just give the shrug.
No, we don't give the shrug. We like to think we're very proactive, and anybody, you know, wants to speak to us and, you know, speak to my colleague in my office, who's a tremendous business consultant, who deals with all our business clients, or he helps new business clients. And Claudia Vargas, who heads up our personal tax department, she's always available to answer questions on individual taxation.
Fantastic. SpenceClark.com, Spence with an E, Clark with an E, and we will see you in a month's time, Alistair.
That's great, Bill. Thank you very much.
Look after yourself. Cheers. Bye-bye.